I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. So if I could be honest with you guys a little bit before we hop into today's episode, your girl's plate is beyond full at the moment. Y'all know I started law school not because I needed another trophy or because I wanted some more accomplishments, but this was just something that I believe that the Lord has led me to. And I've gotten so much confirmation on this journey so far that I was accurate in my discernment of that. And I'm really excited about what the Lord is going to do in this new chapter for me. And in addition to that, y'all know I just had another baby in June. So it's been a lot of transitions happening. And with that, right now, I have not been able to do the two podcast episodes a week. My plate is very full with school and home life, and one has been somewhat reasonable, but right now I am getting ready for midterm. So I've had two exams so far. I have one this week. Actually, I have two this upcoming week and then one the following week. And then I get to breathe a little bit until it's time to prepare for finals. And so I'm learning on the go how to have harmony in this season. And a big part of that is just being honest about what I have the capacity to do and what I don't. When I look at podcasts now, I'm like, man, folks got these interview-based podcasts, these multiple host podcasts where you just chopping it up with a friend or you're interviewing guests. I have been on this show solo dolo for years. It ain't nobody to lean on when I'm tired. It ain't no person to bounce ideas off of. It is me and the Holy Spirit speaking every single week, preparing the notes, delivering the message, and all of that. And I don't plan on changing that format. But that format, on top of the other things I have going on, it's a tweens much. But I'm still committed to it, of course. It's just the next couple of weeks or the last few weeks, I've had to adjust. So I had a repeat episode last week. Today is going to be another. I'm going to bring back one of my favorite episodes that we've done this year. I'm going to also send out an email because I would love to do some Q&A episodes where I could just answer you guys' questions and pour out all the wisdom that the Lord has been giving me without having to spend 1 to 2 hours studying and putting my notes together for an episode. So if you're on my email list, look out for an email. I'm going to be asking for your questions. If you want to submit a question for me to answer on the show, go ahead and email it to me. I'll put my email in the show notes for you. And I think I'm also going to line up a couple of interviews. I think it's been like a year. At least a year since I've had any type of interview, which is crazy. And y'all know if you've been listening to the show for a while, I'm very protective over who I share this space with. So I'm going to think about who I want to have on the show, what we're going to talk about, have some folks in mind, but that's going to be my next step. And then prayerfully on my break, we could get ahead, batch record some episodes from this Charles Stanley book, some Bible on Business episodes. I have a list that will take us well into next year of Bible on Business episodes. I just haven't had the time to sit, bust out the Bible, do my research to be able to put together a cohesive episode and haven't had the energy to sit and communicate that effectively for an hour. So I pray that you guys are understanding and forgiving and accepting of my humanity. This isn't AI. This isn't me just hopping on here saying whatever I want to say and sprinkling some scripture over it to say that this is a Christian podcast. This is really me showing up fully, fully accountable, not just to my audience, but also to the Lord above all. And a big part of that is me open and honest and saying, hey, I ain't got it right now, but I'm going to play you an episode from when I did. And I will be back with some wisdom for you to answer your questions, because there is a lot that I have been learning over the last few weeks that I want to share with you. And I know y'all, I know my audience and the type of questions that I'm sure I'm going to get. And I know that I'll have an opportunity to pour out what the Lord has been pouring into me. So again, thank you so much for your just continued support of this show. Thank you for being accepting of my humanity and my honesty. This will always be an honest space. The second that it doesn't, will be the day that I stop doing it. But yeah, I pray that you guys enjoy this episode. I've referenced this episode so much. It's all about rhythm over routine. And I thought that this would be a great opportunity to repost it. So without further ado, here is a reminder that your relationship with the Lord is not about routine, it's about rhythm. And that should be your focus in this season. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am excited about today's episode because we're going to close out what has become like a series within a series. We've been doing our Bible on Business series since last year, and I had prepared an episode called How to Make Spirit-Led Business Decisions that turned into three different parts. And I didn't expect that at all, but I am excited for us to land this plane and end it with a level of practicality. We've discussed so much. If you have forgotten, in part one, we talked about what it looks like to make strategic business decisions that are led by the Holy Spirit. We studied Acts 8, 26 through 40. Make sure you go and check out that episode. In part two, we did a deep dive into Acts 13, 1 through 4, and discussed how divine strategy and clarity are birthed from this consistent lifestyle of worship, fasting, and submission to the Lord. And then in part three, we went through Acts 16, 6 through 10, and we talked about how important it is for us as Christian entrepreneurs to be mobile and be flexible. If you have not listened to the first three parts of the series, I highly suggest that you go and do so. And in today, in part four, we're going to be closing it out. I want to call this episode The Rhythm of Making Spirit-Led Business Decisions. As y'all know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I like to make things practical. I don't want to just hype you up. I don't want you to just be emotionally high based upon whatever scripture we're diving into and whatever the message is. I want you to be able to hear what the Lord is sharing on these episodes and be able to live it out. To me, the fruit and the evidence of this podcast being effective is more Christian entrepreneurs that are building Holy Spirit-led businesses, that are creating what the Lord saw before He formed them in their mother's womb, and they're doing it with Him, not creating these self-centered, self-ambition driven businesses and sprinkling some Jesus on it and trying to call it Christian. No, I want to play a part in producing entrepreneurs who live a yielded life, a submitted life, a surrendered life, and their businesses are a reflection of their personal commitment to the Lord, and they're building businesses that advance the kingdom forward. That is my ultimate goal here. And a way that I try to stay true to that goal is to always make sure that there is a great level of practicality in what we're discussing. And so that's what this part is for. We've covered so much in parts one, two, and three, but the question that I want to answer here is, so what does that look like? How does that look on a day-to-day of me operating, living my life, running my business? How do I make this a lifestyle and not just lip service? And my answer to that is, you do that through finding your rhythm and not routine. And I'm going to elaborate on that a bit more in a second. But first, we have to start off with scripture. We're going to go to Galatians 5 and 25, which is a text that I have said over and over and over again over the course of this series within a series. In the NIV version, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Again, I've mentioned this text so much. I want to take a second for us to dive into it a bit so we can truly understand what that means. It's a simple one line of scripture, but I want us to understand its place in the broader text to further emphasize the point and what's being said here. Galatians is written by Paul, and he was writing to the churches in Galatia. These were Gentile believers that were being influenced by Judaizers, which are people who claim that in addition to believing in Christ, that Gentiles must also follow Jewish laws to truly be saved. The purpose of this letter is that Paul is correcting this false teaching that law keeping is required for salvation. And he's reminding them and us that salvation comes by grace through faith, not by our works. And spiritual maturity doesn't come through legalism, but it comes by walking in the Spirit. So in our anchored text, again, which is Galatians 5 and 25, it's in a broader piece of scripture. So I actually want to start with Galatians 5:16, and I'm going to read it up until 26 so that we can fully grasp what's being said here. And I'll be reading this out of the New Living Translation. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And to just emphasize for us as entrepreneurs and to drive the point home of this whole entire podcast, selfish ambition was in that list. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And so that's our anchored text, keeping in step with the Spirit, as other translations say. Verse 26, let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So as we see here in the text, Paul is contrasting life in the flesh versus life in the Spirit. In the first part, verses 16 through 21, this is describing the works of the flesh. That's where we saw the full list of sexual immorality, jealousy, selfish ambition, etc. Verse 22 and 23 introduces the fruit of the Spirit. When we get to verse 24, he's clear when he says that those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And then verse 25, our anchored text, is this summation. It's a call to action that is letting us know that if we have received spiritual life by the Spirit, if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves believers, then we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it is our responsibility to crucify our flesh and live out a life that is walking in rhythm with him. Let's dive a little bit deeper. The Greek word for live here in this text refers to having life, ongoing, continual spiritual life that only comes from the Spirit. This isn't talking about our physical fleshly life, but it's talking about a regeneration, a transformation that we have based upon becoming believers. We're made alive now through our relationship with Christ and our commitment to Him. And so Paul is letting them and us know what our identity is. If we claim to have received new life through Christ, then there should be evidence of it. There should be evidence that we are not going with what our flesh wants. There should be evidence that we're not building these businesses based upon our own selfish ambition. It should be evidence that there is something different about the way in which we go about entrepreneurship, how we serve our customers, how we come up with our strategies and our plans. It should be evident that there is a spirit greater than us at work that we are submitted to. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. The Greek word for keeping in step literally means to march in line with the commander, to follow in a fixed pattern or order, to live in conformity with a principle. So this metaphor that Paul is using here is a military metaphor. It speaks to a communal walking. So not just moving, but moving in alignment with the Holy Spirit's pace, direction, and order. So this is not about occasional spiritual moments. This isn't about your routine where you're, and we'll get into routine in a second, where you're checking things off of your list. This isn't about your devotional that you read real quick in the morning. This is about a daily ongoing posture of sync. When you're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, you're not ahead of Him, rushing out of fear, out of pride, being swept up by momentum and ego and praise from outside forces. You're not behind Him where you have analysis paralysis, where you're delaying your obedience out of fear, out of laziness, out of whatever it is that you want to call it. When you are keeping in step with His pace, you're moving with an intentional dependence on His direction. So when we talk about Galatians 5 and 25, what I really want you to take to heart is that this is a charge for us to live in practical daily obedience to the Holy Spirit. It's not just for us to say that we're spirit-filled in theory or with lip service, but if we claim that we are individuals who have life, who have been given new life by Him, then our lifestyle and the way that we do business must align with His leadership. That shows that we're not just talking the talk, but we're walking the walk as well. And the fruit of that walk will speak for itself. Now, I want to take a moment to contrast rhythm versus routine, because you see a lot of conversation and content that is very routine focused that doesn't emphasize rhythm. And I believe that that does so much, many of us, a disservice for truly being able to live and build the way that the Lord has called us to. You see the content of my morning routine with God, my nighttime prayer routine. These are the things that I do in a day to make sure that I'm spending time with the Lord. And I don't think the intention of any of it is bad. The root of it, I hope, is that these are just people who are trying to teach others how to make room and time for the Lord in their life. And I'm sure that's what has attracted many of you to this type of content. It's I'm busy. It's a lot going on. I want to find a routine so that I can be consistent with spending time with the Lord. And so I'm not trying to fault you for it or make you feel bad about it. I just want to redirect you to a focus that's a lot more efficient and a lot more biblically sound than routine, which is this concept of rhythm. If you define routine, let's compare them for a second. If you define routine, routine is defined as a fixed set of actions that's performed regularly, often on autopilot. According to psychologists, about 43% of our daily actions are habitual. Think about it. You wake up, probably check your phone first, if we're being real. You get up, you brush your teeth, wash your face, get dressed for the day, make your breakfast, drive to work, all of these things. Like, you don't even have to think about it. You just do it. If you're a parent, you might be getting your kids ready for school, making sure their book bags packed, they got their things together, everybody eats, get out the house, etc. These are things that become muscle memory, so much so that they're done without much conscious thought. And here is why the conscious thought part of that is important. Because while routines may be efficient, while it may be efficient for you to wake up at 5 a.m., read whatever the verse of the day is, read your devotional, journal a little bit, pray, and then get up and start your day, that's efficient because you've checked off that time with God for the day. But it becomes mindless after a while. And mindlessness is not where we need to be. And it poses such a spiritual risk, because when your life with God becomes just another to-do list, then you risk intimacy for that efficiency. You understand what I'm saying? So yes, the routine can keep you productive, but it also keeps you disconnected. And that is a dangerous place to be. Now, rhythm, on the other hand, rhythm is this natural, responsive flow that adjusts. Remember, we talked about flexibility and mobility in the last one, that adjusts based on season, direction, and relationship. Psychologists teach that rhythm aligns your internal state, which is your thoughts, emotions, nervous systems, with external activity in a regulated way. So when you think about rhythm, rhythm promotes coherence, meaning that all parts of you are moving as one. And this is beneficial spiritually, because what a rhythm does is it anchors you to presence. And obviously, we're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when you are focused on rhythm, it becomes less about the task and more about trust. It becomes less about checking boxes and more about walking closely with the Lord. So to contrast them a bit, to drive this point home, routine will say, I wake up at 5 a.m. and read my Bible. Rhythm says, I don't start my day without hearing from the Lord. Do you hear the difference? Routines are managed by time. You have to do this by this time, do that by that time, et cetera, et cetera. But rhythms, they are governed by his presence. Rhythms operate in divine timing. So instead of having this checklist of what you need to do by when, you have that flexibility and openness to truly keep in step and be led by the Spirit. If I look back on my years of entrepreneurship, rhythm has gotten me way farther than routine ever would have. Routine, me being a type A person, routine is something that I enjoy. I like it. I get that dopamine hit of checking something off of a list. I enjoy watching what I'm able to accomplish, but that is selfish. That's about me and what makes my flesh feel good. But as we read in the text, we have to crucify our flesh and our desires. So what I've learned over the years, as I've embraced living and relying and depending on the Holy Spirit, is that rhythm provides a level of peace, because I know that as the Lord is leading me, I can trust that. It provides a level of excitement, because this journey is exciting. You know, some of the excitement doesn't feel the best, but it's exciting nonetheless. But it also bears way more fruit than routine ever would. More practically, if you look at building a business off of routine versus rhythm, when you build a business off of routine, you have metrics and KPIs that you need to meet. You have sales goals that you need to meet. You got to make sure that your money looks a certain type of way, that your team is governed. So y'all might have team meetings once a week or daily huddles or something like that to connect with the team. You may have a sales goal of how many clients you want to sign on or how many products you want to sell. And in order to do that, you have these marketing goals that you need to reach. Maybe you need to produce a certain amount of content by a certain time. Maybe you need to grow your email list or grow your social channels X percent by X time. You have these set chronological objectives that are outlined for your business to grow. When you're building a business off rhythm, you still have structure. Okay? Hear me. Hear what I'm saying and hear what I'm not saying. When you have a rhythm of led business, you still have structure. You still have organization. You still have strategy. But all of those things are subject to the governing and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So there may have been previous seasons when you're aggressively going after your sales goals and increasing them because you want to see an increase in profitability. But then there also may be seasons where you have to scale back significantly simply because the Lord says so. There might be seasons where you're hiring aggressively in order to meet goals. There might be seasons where you have to let everybody go or consolidate, based upon the instruction of the Holy Spirit. But if you focus on routines, what happens is it is blocking off your sensitivity to be able to hear when you need to pivot, when you need to pull back, when you need to do more, when you need to insert whatever the instruction is. Routines put you in a box, but having this rhythm gives you a freedom. Now, we see routine versus rhythm in a few places in the Bible. I'm not going to dive deep into each one, but write these down so that you could study them as well to see this concept in action biblically. A popular example is Martha versus Mary. You could find this in Luke 10:38-42. Martha was managing the routine of hospitality. She was prepping, serving, coordinating, all good things. But Mary, on the other hand, was in rhythm with the moment at hand. She was sitting at Jesus' feet, responding to his presence. And Jesus even said that Mary had chosen what's better. I want you to also go study Exodus 16 with the Israelites and the manna. Every morning, God provided manna, but only for the day. And those who tried to create a routine by preserving this manna, they woke up to it being rotted out, because God was training them in daily dependence, this rhythm of trust and not a routine of hoarding resources. And he was letting them know, come to me daily for what you need. Another example is the pace of Jesus' ministry. And you could go to Mark 1:35 and John 5:19. Where we learn how Jesus often withdrew to pray. As his popularity grew, as crowds were pressing in, he withdrew. And he made it clear that I only do what I see the Father doing. And so he is the ultimate example of having this divine rhythm. He was led by presence, not by pressure. He moved on purpose. He wasn't in this panic to get things done. So how do we make this practical and not just something that sounds good? I want to break down rhythm into four distinct phases in an effort to help you truly be able to live this out. They are abide, align, act, and assess. Again, abide, align, act, and assess. We have to start with abiding because it's the foundation of everything else. Without it, you being in alignment with the Lord becomes a guessing game. You start striving versus being obedient. And then even when we get to assessing, it'll be more performance driven versus truly assessing the fruit of a situation. The Bible is very clear on the importance of and the obligation to abide. Of course, we see in John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in you bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So he's very, very clear that in order for us to bear fruit, we have to abide in him. This is a non-negotiable. There is no rhythm without connection. Consistent connection, because abiding is not just about these periods of time that you create to do Christian activities. Abiding is a dwelling place. It's a home. It's about being fixed, attached, constantly in connection to the Lord. And most of us know this. You know, many of you who listen to this show, I don't perceive you to be baby Christians. I've met enough of you and worked with enough of you in different capacities to know that there are certain things that you know, right? You know that you have to abide in him. You know that you have to stay connected to him. But there is a reason why it is a struggle for that to be done consistently. And so as I'm looking through and just studying, like, what keeps us from living in this space, even putting my own self out there on the times where I might get sucked in or swept into the busyness of life, swept into whatever may be going on that I'm not doing and abiding the way that I should. I always ask the question, why is that? So that we can address the things that's keeping us from the posture and position that the Lord wants us to be in. So here's what I found. One of the reasons why we struggle to abide is because we overload our schedules. There's this time scarcity that we have. According to psychologists, scarcity of time creates what is called this tunneling effect, where our brain hyper-focuses on urgent tasks at the expense of important ones, like prayer, meditation, and rest. How many of you are guilty of that? My hand is raised. Even just yesterday, my youngest son, he has been like, you know, having a runny nose. You could tell that he's coming down with something. As a parent, you could look at your kid's eyes and tell that there's something going on. And he spiked a fever. And so this morning, instead of starting the day of just like prayer or whatever, I go straight to, let me check his temperature. Does he still have a fever? How is he doing? Let me make sure that we get him to be seen by somebody today. Like I went straight into reacting because I'm in mama bear mode. And that's what happens to so many of us. We wake up already reacting. And then the day ends up running us instead of us running it. Something else that keeps us from abiding, of course, are these digital distractions that we have these days. According to Nielsen data, the average adult, check this out, spends 11 plus hours a day consuming media. According to psychologists, social media and endless scrolling, it taps into your brain's reward system, releasing dopamine, which is that feel-good chemical. And so over time, this creates addiction-like patterns where we begin to crave stimulation even when we're trying to be still. Isn't that something? When I was reading this, of course, I immediately thought of the text that tells us, be still and know that I'm God. How can we be still when the way in which we spend our time on a day to day is programming us to constantly crave stimulation? It's creating these addiction-like patterns within our brains, and we are willingly submitting ourselves to that programming. We're willingly submitting ourselves to this brainwashing that is creating habits that is directly in opposition to how the Lord wants us to live. Isn't that demonic? And so then when we are called to be silent with the Lord, it starts to feel boring or uncomfortable. When it's through that silence, it's through that stillness, it's through that listening where he starts to plant those seeds for revelation. He plants those creative ideas. That's when he does his best work, when he has our undivided attention. But we have created such distractions that has opened up the door for the enemy to then manipulate our flesh so much so to where it is now an added part of our behavior to be discontent in the presence of the Lord. The third thing that keeps us from abiding is information overload. This is something we talk about often on this podcast. Media has always been powerful. I mean, even if we look at more traditional media forms, there are a few media conglomerates that control 95% of everything that we see and that we hear. That's traditional media, television, radio, newspaper, things like that. So we're adding in digital media on top of that. Now, we have access to so much at one time. It is absolutely not healthy. We know what's going on across the world. We know what's going on down the street. We know what's going on in the personal lives of so many people. We have all of these thought leaders, quote unquote, experts and content creators that are constantly trying to sell to us, get us to do something, sign up for something. Like, it is a lot. And it's not healthy or helpful for us to abide, which means that it's not healthy or helpful for us to create the rhythm that we need. According to the cognitive load theory, our brain has a limited capacity for decision-making and attention. So when it's overloaded, we experience this decision fatigue and are more likely to default to habits instead of intentional spiritual practices. So by having too many voices and having this information overload, according to the psychologist, this puts us in a space to where we default to routines because it's mindless. Remember, routines become habitual, which means they don't take much thought. And so if there's too much consuming our thoughts, that is what we default to, which is pulling us away from the Lord. So now it's not even just sin that we have to worry about, but it's the saturation as well. So as we see, all of these things keep us from abiding, and it consequently, all of these things leave us in a space of being burnt out, of striving harder than ever, and ultimately bearing little fruit. And that's not what we want. That's not how the Lord has called us to live. And it's definitely not how the Lord has called us to build his businesses that are supposed to be advancing his kingdom. So what do we do about this? First, we have to reduce the noise. We have to reduce the noise. Y'all know I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I haven't been on TikTok since last year sometime. I get on Instagram every now and then if there's something that I have to post for like the studio, or if there's something that I post that, you know, just is funny or personal or whatever. I get on every now and then, but I delete that thing off my phone, that thing meaning like Instagram, off my phone very often. I'm not really on Facebook like that. I get on every now and then because I want to see memories. So like the other day, my oldest son turned 5. So I wanted to see memories that I had on there from like his birthday and things like that. But I have to sign out. I got to delete it because it's just too much. It's too much. And so we have to find ways to reduce noise. There was a podcast episode I did years ago called Low Power Mode. If you ever want to find an episode that I reference, you can always go to blessedandbossedup.com. You could search the feed that's on the homepage, and any episode that I've done on a particular topic will come up. So if you go in there and you type in low power mode, you'll find that episode, and I'll actually link it in the show notes as well. But the purpose of that is to operate from a level where we're not as connected to everyday things, social media, etc., as we might naturally do. Some practical things you could do to reduce noise is set time limits on your phone for when you can use certain apps. There are apps that really allow you to do that because the iPhone lets you do it, but you could easily just be like, remind me in 15 minutes or forget about it. Like, it's very easy to get around when the iPhone is trying to get you to get offline. There are other apps that will really like block you from being able to get on there. If you Google them, I'm sure you'll find them. But put some time limits on social media. Do an information fast where you're just taking a break from the voices, where you're not listening to certain podcasts, you're not following certain pages, you're not watching certain videos on YouTube. Just take a step back for a second to reduce the noise from there. You could also do things like turning off your notifications. My phone don't make no noise. Do you understand? My phone stay on like D&D, or and the only people that I could really get through was like my husband, anybody who has my kids at any given point in time, the school. Like, my phone be on D&D often. It don't ring at all. It's always on silent. Never even vibrate. The thing be on silent. I don't have no notifications on my phone because I don't need to know every time I have an email. I don't need to know every time something happens wherever. I just don't need to know at that time. And these social media apps in particular, they are set up to keep you on the app, to keep your attention. And as we said before, they're set up to create these addiction-like behaviors. And so you have to really work against that. So something you could also do is silence any type of non-essential notifications. And then again, using these different apps, a couple that I could just think of are like Freedom or Digital Wellbeing that allow you to limit your screen time. You could also create sacred windows of time. So just the same way that Jesus always dipped off to go and pray in solitude, then you can do something like that yourself, to where this is a time where you take a step back from anything that may be going on and you have this appointment with the Lord where you're just praying, you're quiet, and you're just sitting with Him. It could be as simple as like an hour a day, an hour a week, but think of it like a Sabbath where you could check in and reflect and connect with the Lord. These are just some ideas, but I really want you to take a look at, for you specifically, because this is individual. For whatever distracts us or sucks us in is individual. So think about, what are the things that keep you from that place of abiding, and what can you do to protect that connection with the Lord? This allow this to be something that you pray about, because the Lord will give you strategy and He will give you insight and reveal things to you that you may not have known before. So the first part, that was a long first part, but it has to be because it's the foundation of this rhythm that you're building is abiding. The second feature of your rhythm needs to be aligned. And so this is where you need to make sure that you're making all of your business decisions from the place of intimacy with the Lord. Again, that's why abiding is that foundation, because everything else in your rhythm will build from it. When we think about the feature align, this means that all of your business decisions are in proper alignment with the Lord. That means that you are building in such a way to where you are checking every idea, every opportunity, every pivot, every client against what the Lord has said. That means that you are building your business in a way to where you are not moving too fast and you take a step back to think about your decisions, to say, does this bring me closer to God's character and calling, or does it bring me further away? You have discernment filters in place when you are aligned, where what I mean by that is what you're doing, you're making sure that it's aligned with Scripture because you're abiding, which means you're reading and learning and understanding and living Scripture. Another piece of that discernment filter is peace. And not just the fleshly peace, but that inner knowing, to where you're secure and understanding that it's the Holy Spirit that leads you. All of the tools and the maturity that you get in the abiding feature or aspect, it trickles over into alignment. And so as long as you abide, you will be aligned. That's the beauty of rhythm. All of this is working together. Something that you can reference when it comes to a line is an episode that I did. I think it's a video on my YouTube channel as well that I did some years ago called How to Have a Business Meeting with God. And I really break down the practical aspects of doing business God's way. So if you look up like business God's way, how to have a business meeting with God and all of that on the podcast feed, those are some really, really great supplemental episodes to listen to. The next feature of your rhythm is to act. Remember, flexibility and mobility. Go and listen to part 3 of this series within a series, and where we went over Acts 16, 6 through 10. So I don't want to be repetitive. That whole episode is about this feature of acting, moving with faith and flexibility. So go back and listen to that episode for that. And then the last feature of your rhythm needs to be assess. This is where you evaluate the fruit of what you've built thus far with your business, and you remain teachable by the Holy Spirit. This is where you evaluate what you've done to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. This is where you line up what you've done with how Scripture says that you should be building. This is where you line up what you've done with what the Lord has revealed to you in the secret place. And this is where you also have to be okay with course correction. One thing about the Lord is He gives us grace. His unmerited favor. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. He gives it freely to us. And so this assessment period is not for you to be self-deprecating. It's not for you to try to hustle or produce things in your own strength. But this is more so about self-awareness and self-submission to the Holy Spirit so that He can correct you as necessary. And so that allows for your rhythm to continue and for it to be fruitful. So let's recap the features of this rhythm of having a Spirit-led business. It's abide, align, act, and assess. I'm going to go ahead and end this here. I pray that this blessed you, that this brought you some aha moments, some revelations, especially when talking about that routine versus rhythm. I pray that this brought you a lot of freedom and clarity and practicality for you to live this out. Leave us a 5-star review if this blessed you. Share this with someone who needs it. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.